Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of BAMS Radio. I am Thomas Watts. It's our special Halloween episode. We'll be talking some LSU, and we'll have some Halloween-themed drops. I am here with Bama Bird.
Hey, Bam.
How are we doing tonight, Bird?
Oh, good. Passing out candy to the little corn doggies running away.
Well, that sounds horrible smelling, but moving on. We also have Carrie Clark. Carrie, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Thomas. It's good to hear that song of now subtitled Ode
to the Cone Dogs.
Yeah. Well, I can live with that. Well, anyway, on the show tonight for our listeners, we've got Dr. Gold, a famous LSU prognosticator, coming on in about a half hour, and we'll have Don Kassler Jr. from the Birmingham News coming on around 9. So we're definitely looking forward to that. But first, before we get into LSU, we didn't do our Sunday show. We were a little busy up in BAM's land. So we could probably just talk about some of the happenings that went on last week. Obviously, Bird, you and I deserve a little bit of comeuppance from Carrie and Blip somewhere out there in cyberspace because, well, we both picked Florida, and Florida proceeded to faceplant against Georgia. What did y'all think about that game? And I think someone's muted on y'all.
I'm muted. How about that? I was
there. You
say,
go.
It's a mercurial bunch, to say the least, Thomas. Georgia befuddles me because they will go out and they'll play like basically world beaters, and then they'll turn around and completely choke. And I don't get it. And now I can sort of understand Florida, because Florida is in the process of you know, recrowning themselves and clawing back into the elite of college football. Georgia, they should be better than they are every year. They should be a perennial top three to top five team every year with the talent they have over in Georgia. And Rick seems to be able to do less with more than any coach in the United States. But good win for Georgia. So absolute, you know, congrats to those guys.
Probably a better win for Alabama in the end, because Georgia is kind of there today, gone tomorrow, and not as good a team as Florida. So Alabama actually gets an easier matchup in the SEC title game, assuming Alabama makes it.
I bought my ticket Saturday night, by the way, talking about whether or not Alabama makes it. Kerry just gave me the regal looking down his glasses at me like, you have to be crazy, you're jinxing us. But I'm telling you, and A&M scares me more than LSU does. That quarterback at A&M, did either of you guys get to watch the show the other night, watch the game, the Texas A&M and Auburn game?
I saw DVR of the first one and a half quarters. It was brutal.
Johnny Manziel is
he's the real deal. I call him Vanilla Cam.
Yeah, he's going to wear us out.
Well, we're going to outscore him.
Yeah, Manziel's a very good player, but he still is – he's been exposed by decent defenses. Florida shut him down, and LSU did a pretty good number on him after that blitz in the first half. But Auburn obviously couldn't do it, so not like I'm complaining. set a team record for yards given up, almost reset total points. You know, they only lost by, 5 points to the record set against them by John Heisman in the early teens. So, great game for Auburn.
Well, I mean, it's what happens to Auburn after this? Do either of you guys think that that our good buddy down on the plains is going to make it through into the year? Does he step down gracefully without being fired?
Great question. I honestly don't know.
I don't think they know. Going to get victory number 2 this week against a hapless New Mexico State team.
Yeah.
One of the few teams in America that's worse than Auburn. And they are handily worse than Auburn. Then, earlier in the year I had made some comments on here about how Alabama A&M might pose a problem, but they've kind of started slipping. They lost the Magic Classic. They lost a couple weeks before that. So they now have 2 losses. So looks like 3-9 is a good bet for Auburn. As far as what's going to happen with Chizik, I don't even think they know. I think, personal opinion, I think it depends on if they can strike a deal with Petrino or not. If they can't get him, I think they might even give Chizik another year and just make him throw his coordinators under the bus, which is a great opposition anyway.
I don't think they can wait a year, Kerry. I really think that they're in a situation that they've got to make some moves and make them now. Otherwise, they lose any hope of relevancy in the SEC. It goes nowhere but down from here if they leave any of those guys in place. Got to listen to national, and he doesn't call himself a bookie because he's certainly not a bookie, but he projects, basically he's a line setter for different games. And talking to Danny Sheridan the other evening at the Touchdown Club, kickoff club down in Tuscaloosa. And Danny is a very good speaker, and Danny always brings lots of interesting things. But his speculation is that they are, and again, this is off the record, off the cuff, and basically, an aside conversation, but that Auburn most likely is going to have a new coach before end of the year. He knows that Petrino has called several of the SEC presidents, not the coaches, but he's called the presidents and asked for mea culpa for some of his past discretions, and he's been absolved of those. So he can come back into the league. We know that, and that's as within the past 2 or 3 weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see. I know that Petrino is who they have wanted forever when they went through Tubbsgate, but wouldn't it be great, you two, if Auburn hires Petrino and our good friends up in Fayetteville hire Tommy Tuberville as their head coach?
Yeah. And for all I could care, Tennessee could hire Gruden. It would just make it more fun. It would bring the fun back to some of these rivalries that aren't really rivalries anymore.
I don't see Tennessee getting Gruden, but that's neither here nor there. It would be a lot of fun to see Petrino around and Tommy Tuberville back. Tuberville's done a decent job at Texas Tech, so he'd be on the radar.
He's had 2 giant upsets in a row, Thomas. I mean, last year with Oklahoma, he drugged Oklahoma. And then this year, again, huge upset for those guys. He's done a fabulous job. Have you ever been down to that school?
Out in Lubbock, I have not.
It is worse than Auburn, at least, is a quite quaint little burg, down in rural Alabama. This place, and honest to God, it rains mud down in Lubbock. It will literally cloud up, and because of the dust up in the atmosphere and the dust and the clouds, it rains mud. It is nasty. It is just a nasty place. So, if I were him, I would be doing everything I could to get out of there, pull a Mike Leach and hit some.
Well, I can't say I disagree. Tuberville, it'd be a great hire. I think that Arkansas might be looking at Butch Davis. That's a name I've heard, which comes with its own set of baggage. But I've actually heard some national commentators say that the North Carolina thing wasn't specifically Butch Davis's fault. He just kind of got caught up in it all. But I don't know enough about the North Carolina situation specifically to speak to that. I don't know. What it looks like is no matter how you slice it, four new coaches in the SEC. And like Harry said, it could make rivalries that have become flagrantly one-sided in the past, 36 months into something more interesting. So I'm not completely opposed.
The name that Sheridan threw, and if I misquote him, I'm sorry, Danny, but I think the name that he threw on the wall for Kentucky was Butch Davis, which in a lot of ways makes all the sense in the world, because Butch is coming into a program that, you know, football is not their raison d'etre like it is in some of the other SEC schools, number one. Number two, the expectations are fairly low for whatever coach comes in. Not quite as low as poor Jabba the Hutt sitting up there now, but they are fairly low in comparison to like an Auburn or a Florida, Georgia or an Alabama or even Tennessee. So it would be a pretty good program for you to come in and be able to take over.
Well, the other wild card in all this is Charlie Strong. Just doing a fantastic job at Louisville, still undefeated. I know Arkansas wants to talk to him. And I'm sure, well, I don't know if Auburn's man enough to hire Charlie Strong. But, you know, Tennessee would certainly, I'm sure, want to talk to him if the Gruden thing falls through. And it may. They may not be able to get Gruden. I can understand him not wanting to put all the pressure of college coaching and recruiting on himself. But at the same time, 6 years ago, everybody outside of this state said Auburn wasn't going to get Nick Saban, and they did. So you never know.
He's making $7 million a year to sit in the booth on a Monday night, every Monday night. I mean, let's see. Let's jump into a cauldron of coaching hell in the SEC with some of the best coaches ever to have coached the game. Or let me sit up and make my, whatever it is he's getting, $7 million to talk about Monday night football. And Gruden does a nice job, but you know what? I think it'd be crazy to jump into the SEC.
Well, you know, from a stress level perspective, yes. It just depends on how much of a competitor he is. He may just want to keep the Cush job, and if he does, that's fine. But somebody's going to get a good coach in Charlie Strong. Butch Davis, I sort of agree with Thomas. I think Arkansas's got a great shot at him. He is personal friends with Jerry Jones, who is an influential Arkansas alumni, as well as a person who screwed up a perfectly great tradition in pro football, but that's another story. But, you know, Jerry's buddies with Butch, and Butch, to my knowledge, is an Arkansas graduate. And Tuberville, I only mention him because he's an Arkansas native and he's doing a good job. But Charlie Strong, I don't think will stay at Louisville. I think he'll take an SEC job. I'm not quite sure which one it would be. But if I had to pick, I would say either Arkansas or Tennessee. I think Charlie Strong is better than the Kentucky job. I think he can do better. And the same would be said for Kirby Smart. I mean, at some point, he's going to take one of these jobs. Mark Richt, with his Kerry Clark predicted victory this past weekend, probably precluded Kirby Smart getting a phone call from the University of Georgia. Unless they crap the bed this Saturday against Ole Miss. I don't think that's going to happen because it's a home game. If it were in Oxford, I'd be kind of concerned, and I'd be chopping at the bit if I were a Florida Gator. But being as that it is in Athens, and being as that I don't think that Murray will play horribly, that horribly 2 weeks in a row, and being as that Ole Miss has a good defense but not a great defense, see the Texas game, I think Georgia will be able to handle Ole Miss. I don't think Georgia's going to blow them out by any means. But I think Georgia will hold them off, and to the point that they'll just basically have to show up and play Auburn to get their spot in Atlanta. And then Alabama will have a chance if Alabama comes through this weekend, and I think they will. Alabama will have a chance in the Georgia Dome the first Saturday of December to make a very large statement to the Georgia Bulldogs recruits that are going to be at the game, to the Georgia Bulldog fans who have delusions of grandeur, although Lord knows why. And basically to the sports fans in Atlanta in general, Alabama will have a great chance, if Alabama does its part, and I think it will, to make that kind of statement at the SEC championship game. I'm already, and there's been some interviews, not to draw this out too long, there's been some interviews this week with some Alabama players. One that comes to mind is Kevin Norwood. Those guys are all about getting the national championship last year, but they kind of regretted not getting a chance to play for the SEC championship and bring that trophy back to Tuscaloosa. And they made that a major goal this year, just as much as getting to Miami as a goal. So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Alabama back in the Georgia Dome. I missed them being there last year. And the city of Atlanta is a very important recruiting hotbed for Nick Saban and his staff. So I'm glad they're playing those two games to open the next two seasons there. But it's also important to show up and win a championship there on the first Saturday of December. Just my opinion.
Well, good stuff, guys. I'll tell you what, let's bust off for a break. And by the way, as a reminder to our fans, lest anybody listen to BAMS, and this is almost a stupid statement. No, it's a fully stupid statement. You know, this is LSU week, so we're going to – not only is it Halloween, the night of the weird, as the stinky things walk around, you know, on one night as we celebrate the Dark Lord, for heaven's sakes. But it's LSU week, and, I don't have the trepidation I've had in the past. But you are listening to BAMS Radio, and we are going to be talking some LSU later with Dr. Gold and Don Kausler, and, of course, your fearsome threesome, your triumphant triplets. Give me an epithet, Kerry.
I would just like to say happy birthday to Nick Saban.
And happy birthday to Nick Saban. You're listening to BAMS Radio.
Dominance. Power. Supremacy. One game. Everything on the line. A war on a 100-yard battlefield. On one sideline, a commander with ice in his veins.
Ridley, reverse!
Willing to roll the dice and leave you in the dust, scratching your head. On the other sideline, a defensive-minded master. Relentless to his opponents until they wave the white flag. There will be plenty of weapons at their disposal. For the purple and gold, an array of speed and power, waiting to strike at any moment from all angles. For the crimson and white, a relentless ground attack, ready to burst through the front lines and punish anyone that stands in their way. For the winner, a chance to raise the crystal at season's end. LSU. Alabama. 1 versus 2. Are you ready?
Radio, you gotta love it when you got two things that collide, you know, the irresistible force meets the immovable object type thing, and that's what we have on this Halloween edition of BAMS Radio pre-LSU. Storied games, storied programs, and of course the theoretical bump in the road as we march our way to Miami for yet another national championship. Before we move on to LSU, my friends, let's talk a little bit about, in the next 15 minutes before Dr. Gold comes on with us and we segue into LSU, let's talk about the game behind us. Let's look in the rearview mirror for a minute and either pick apart, pull apart, or prop up the Crimson Tide's performance against the Bullies from Mississippi State. Personally, I was very happy with what I saw. I thought that Mississippi State proved that you can throw on Alabama without too much trouble. We did give up some yards in the air this week. Not a lot, but some. They proved that they are mortal on their defense. The three-headed triplet of Tylers. Is that all the Tylers we have this year, guys?
I think so. I think we're Tylered out for the year.
Yeah, Tylered out. All tuckered and Tylered out. Yeah, that's funny. But, the last of the Tylers, all the top guns named Tyler. The kid was a pretty impressive quarterback. Outside of playing Alabama, you can see where they have won some games or continue to win some games. I would not put it past Mississippi State to finish the rest of their season undefeated with a one season loss to Alabama. Could happen.
You think they'll beat them this week?
It could happen. I think that their defense.
You think they beat LSU?
It could happen. I was impressed with their quarterback play.
I see those as two sure losses for State.
Do you really?
Yeah.
They are a little bit of a stretch, Kerry. You're correct, but it still could happen. I think that where are those games being played? Because I'm not up on what their home schedule looks like.
A&M is in Starkville, and Mississippi State travels to Baton Rouge.
That's a split at best.
Honestly,
my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're
call Georgia Florida.
You're gonna dance through the end of this season on the. But you did. You called.
I'll tell you another thing. I called. Totally off topic. I said about a month ago that Jonathan Wallace would start the Iron Bowl for Auburn.
You're right.
And he's starting this week for Auburn.
Yes, he did. He had to be starting this week.
www.dumpsterfire.org. $5 tickets are available for Saturday.
Literally. He's not kidding, folks. I heard from the Plains that this past weekend that you could get into the game. This is Texas A&M, probably one of the better, most entertaining offenses in college football. You could get into that game for $20 at game time. $20 would put a butt in the seat, and you could tell they couldn't even fill those up. So it's the dumpster fire roars on. It's karmic. It's karma, you bitches. It's karma.
Boy Scouts across the 334 area code are begging their scoutmasters not to make them usher at Jordan-Hare anymore.
There's got to be
carnage. It's awful. It's to the point like UAB was at when I first moved back to Alabama back in 98-99 time frame. You'd go through the checkout line. They'd try to hand you UAB tickets. That's where all the football is right now.
I'm going to borrow one of Danny's jokes from the other evening since we're still in Auburn. And basically it was a young man named Johnny, and he was having to go through a custody hearing. And both his grandparents and his paternal uncle were trying to get custody of the kid, but they both had an issue in that they were known to beat children. And Johnny told the court, got in front of the judge, and said, "Your Honor, I want a petition that I go to live with Gene Chizik." Now you guys fill in the blanks, because he's proven he doesn't beat anybody. Hey, I didn't tell that. I'm just repeating in a terrible paraphrase.
I hope he told it better than that.
He told it a lot better than that.
Well, wiggle anyway, Greg.
He got the same reaction at the dinner the other night. It was, Danny. But it's Mississippi State was a quality club. Actually, I thought that Ole Miss played was tougher than Mississippi State did.
Oh, they did.
Ole Miss was still, if you had to go through the roster of Coach of the Year, I've got to give Freeze some big props, because that talk about a team that literally you didn't even want to watch walk onto the field last year. They are fun to watch. They're motivated. They're well coached. They're going to go bowling this year. I don't know that I wouldn't want to play them as whoever it is from the Big Sisters of the Poor League, the Big Ten. Hell, let's take their champion. And I think Ole Miss would give their champion all that they could stand.
Well, they hit you. They out hit and played harder than Alabama did that night. I know Alabama won the game, but
Michi was the real deal.
Oh, he's the real deal. And Kirby Smart's caught a lot of flack on the various message boards for telling Nick Saban that he could get Robert without taking Denzel. Denzel would help Alabama.
Yeah,
he's a quality SEC linebacker, a little undersized, but boy, he gets after your butt.
He's like some
people say. CJ Mosley's a little undersized, but you know what? He gets after your butt. and he's the leading tackler on the number one player team in the country. So Denzel would have helped us. I really wish now we'd have taken him, but that's water under the bridge. Probably going to end up getting Robert for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, that's probably where Robert's going to go.
And you know what? I don't blame him at all.
Oh, I don't either.
Not a bit. And he's certainly not going to a complete crap hole of a team that he would have last year. And it's just it shows that players with decent motivation and decent coaching can certainly respond to that, and it becomes unlike players that are 4- and 5-star players that are walking around with great big lollipops in their mouths down in Auburn. Totally, they're not overrated. They're just not well coached at the end of the day. Speaking of Kim Dichi and his size, did you guys, either one of you, notice that almost every play that we watched against Mississippi State, that Sinceri was A, either quarterbacking in the backfield, or B, was on the play? And how he couldn't have been given player of the game, I have no idea, because the guy was in on literally every time they called, you know, who made the tackle, who was in on the tackle. It was Sinceri every time.
Well, I tell you, Robert Lester played a heck of a game, and so did C.J. Mosley. All three of those kids did great.
Well, I mean, it was a great game by them. Robert Lester has really turned into the ball hawk that he was a couple of years ago, and that's been not shocking, but it's been a very pleasant, I don't want to use the word regression, but that's kind of what it is. So the secondary is stout. It's going to be real interesting to see how LSU attacks Alabama this weekend, but we'll get into that with Dr. Gold.
Thomas, there are times, not every game, not every play, but there are times when the evil spirit of a prior wearer of the number 13 by the name of Kel Bailey inhabits the body of Deion Ballou. But about once a game, he'll get beat deep, and sometimes the guy will drop the ball like Justin Hunter did, and sometimes they'll complete it, and sometimes he'll make a great recovery and bat it away. But Deion kind of scares me a little bit. I think that's a guy that LSU is going to go after Saturday night and go after early and often. So if Deion Ballou steps up and has a good game like I know he's capable of doing, I think Alabama will be fine. Something else I called before the season, not to break my arm, pat myself on the back, I've already got a torn rotator cuff, but something else I called before the season was the exposure, and it has happened, of the overrating of Mr. Zach Mettenberger, which I call Metten Diggler because of his version of Van Pointer's porn stash. But that, all that being said, I think Alabama's going to really have some interesting blitz packages for Zach Mettenberger this coming Saturday night. And my only fear, and this is like a 1 out of a 20 chance, okay? My only fear is that Mettenberger has a 2010 Columbia, South Carolina Garcia game. That's what's going to happen for LSU to win. Chances, like I said, 1 out of 20, and I might be a little generous there. Alabama's... they learned so much from that 2010 season in so many different ways from the three losses they suffered that year. And they've been able to get payback on the most part. Don't know when we'll play South Carolina again. They didn't do their part this year. Spurrier ran that yap, you know, all preseason and all the way up to his second loss in Georgia's upset of Florida. And then he ran it again in a very classless manner this week when he – put down Dabo Swinney's sincere prayers about Marcus Lattimore. That's a whole other segment, but Spurrier can be a turd at times. Anyway, so I'm not really sure where I was going with all that, but thanks for letting me do it anyway.
Well, you know, you bring up South Carolina and that Lattimore injury. I watched it once, and that was about all I could stomach. So major prayers going out to him from the Bams Nation. If you haven't had a chance to actually read up on what the young man is off the football field, he's somebody that you definitely cheer for. There are stories that abound about him. There's a good story on CBSSports.com, I believe, if you're interested in it. And I think we are heading to a break. It is 8:30. We are waiting for Dr. Gold to call in. He's not online with us yet, but maybe we'll start some LSU. I've got some fun stats, and we can do a little bit of offensive breakdown. Bird, if you've got us queued up, take it away.
That could be a fumble. Hightower got in on him. Dante Hightower ripped it loose. That's a fumble. Turn it over. Look at the Tide. celebrating now. 6-15, up 15, dominating with this defense. This is a mauling, folks, a mauling. Number 30, one of the great linebackers. He'll play a long time in the National Football League. Rips it loose. A teammate falls on it. And I believe it was Gentry who's had a whale of a game, who's able to get his body over on the football for Nick Saban.
You'll recognize it. I hope it goes, I've got a
tiger by the tail. It's plain to see. I won't pay my twin if you get through with me. Well, I'm losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were deep gasoline. That's the kind. Been my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails. Now it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a
tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't pay my twin if you get through with me. And I'm a loser.
Let me get my microphone turned on, and welcome back to BAMS. We have the illustrious, the glowing, and the golden Dr. Gold. Dr. Gold, how are you this evening?
Well, son, I say, son, how you do?
I'm you know what, I'm not near as trepidatious about this year coming down to Death Valley as I was last year when y'all came
son,
up.
You're going to kick my butt this year. I've had enemas that felt better. I mean, let's
like
get
really.
About
like.
How it is.
I don't know, man. You know what? It's any way you want to slice this game, Dr. Gold. LSU plays Bama tough. Bama plays LSU tough. I think the past, God, since Saban's been back, I mean, every one of these games goes down to who's holding the ball last. I mean, it literally has. And do you not see it that way this week?
Well, here's the deal. You know, we got a quarterback that we thought was really, really good. Matter of fact, they said he was the, Mr. Mettenberger was the Messiah. Well, let me just tell you what. It ain't like that yet. And it could be good. Could be really good. But, you know, the quarterback's got to throw the ball. The receiver's got to catch it. A couple of plays, A&M, and it's a different game. It's all about decision-making. And let me give you an example. Let me give you an antidote.
Okay.
You know, elks have sex once a day.
That's
why
the
hell did I join Rotary?
That's the big that's oh. I thought you were actually talking about the big horned animals, but you're talking about the.
I think where he's going with this is Metten Digler's porn stash.
You know what? Mettenberger is making better decisions, but the fact of the matter is, if you can't get the ball into the receiver's hands, you got problems.
Well, he's been inconsistent, Dr. Gold. I mean, it's absolutely the case. I thought you guys would go into Auburn and literally wax the field with probably one of the chumpiest teams I've ever seen play down in Auburn. I mean, and I've been watching college football for almost as long as you have, my friend. But I got to say, that is a woeful team, and I don't know why Auburn seems to have LSU's number when you go play down at Pat Dye Field.
I don't think they use wax. I think they use cement, but that's another story.
Well, you're welcome to fill us in on that if you wish.
Well, we won't go there.
No, we won't go there. So anyway, you know, I know that you all are going to play better on your home field than you played at Auburn. And I'm not sure which team LSU is going to put on the field for Alabama. It's a given.
Well, here's the deal. We're going to put a great defense on the team.
Right.
On the field. The defense is going to be incredible. But if they have to be out there 40, 45 minutes, we're going to get waxed.
Well, you know, that's Bama's modus operandi. I mean, they...
And that was my comment about Auburn. We got waxed.
You got cemented and waxed both. So you've got... We know that Mettenberger is less than mobile. I mean, that's one of the things. He still has got a good arm.
And you know what? His legs aren't bad. That's the interesting thing. He is not going to be Drew Brees or any great mobile quarterback. But his legs aren't that bad. The legs and the brain don't seem to connect.
Is it possible that when he does have to use his legs, he's not putting two and two together to make four, that he's coming up with three and five each time he does the addition? Because it seems to me like any time he does go mobile, the play completely breaks down. It's not like something good happens out of it. It's like everybody kind of just groans and says, oh, crap, you know, Mettenberger's running. And
I think that is reasonable. So the bottom line is, if he's not going to run, he's going to step up in the pocket and hit receivers. And let me tell you what's going on with LSU. When Mettenberger hits receivers, they don't catch the ball. When they're open, he hadn't hit them. Let me tell you what could be the difference this weekend. If the receivers catch the ball and he hits open receivers, holy moly, it could be a different ball game. But, I mean, I'm telling you. Now, Bird, you know my dad's an Aggie.
Yes.
So last week was a really special game, and it was down to the wire. But I'm telling you, there are three plays that if 3 feet makes a difference, it's a wide open ball game. A&M isn't even in the game. And then there's the Hatter. You know, if you're going to put 9 in the box, good God. Throw some passes out and take advantage of it.
Well, it's a...
And then you get that last drive. You run like 13 plays. You run the ball. You get down the goal line, you throw the ball out of bounds. What the hell is that?
That's your boy down there on the sideline eating grass. You know, Honey Badger needs to quit sending him that grass that he's been taking up.
Well, we got a lot of people been herbalized around here.
Legalize or herbalize?
No.
Let's talk about
this. This week they were herbalized.
They were herbalized.
10 bags worth of it.
Question on your defense. The defense looks more than solid. You've got a front four that looks like they would eat raw liver if it was served to them.
And the linebackers are better than people gave us credit they would be.
Yeah, you've got a much, and it's hard for me to say, but I think this LSU defense is every bit as good as last year's. And again, people are holding those guys up on the sword or the shield of the Trojan and marching around the stadium. And I've got to say, LSU's defense is every bit as good. You know what, and this is observation on my part, because I've watched you guys play now four times this year. Observation on my part is that you've got no true superstars. There's no Tyrann and Matthews, but they play together extremely well as a unit and as a team. And it's some of the best team defense. And I think you're going to see that on the other side of the ball down in Death Valley. I think you're going to see two of the best defensive teams I have ever seen in my collegiate viewing career.
Oh, I think you're right. Let me tell you the deal. And this is part of the issue. Our offensive line has been decimated. I mean, they just beat the crap out of them. You know, we are, how many people? Three, four people that start the year are gone, and the rest of them are kind of limping around like you and me. And
yeah.
God bless, Bama Nation. I've been seeing pictures of the bird. And let me tell you, he is one of my best friends in the world. Is everybody listening to me?
They're all listening to you. Dr. Gold, you have the planet's ears as we speak.
I've known the bird for 35 years. He is one of my oldest friends in the world. My children call him Uncle. I also used to tell him he looked like Bluto. Now he looks like a movie star.
Well, you're very kind, but that's crap. But anyway.
I mean, if he'd asked me, I'd go out with him. That's how good he looks.
You're killing me. Well, it's going to be an interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't talk like that in Alabama, can we?
Yeah, we can. We can do whatever you want on Bam's Radio, bro. This is not over the air. This is our own little universe. So, but it's Dr. Gold, and to paraphrase and carry along with what he said, I've known this gentleman forever, and we have spent many hours conversing about football and long into the wee hours of the night and sometimes watching the sun come up. And truly is well connected with LSU, loves his Tigers. A quick anecdote about Dr. Gold. He came to my daughter's wedding wearing a white tuxedo. I'm going to get these mixed up. Dr. Gold, was it a purple tie?
Purple and gold cummerbund.
Purple and gold cummerbund. Absolutely representing the LSU Tigers. And you have to love a fan that's going to come into Alabama territory absolutely resplendently, with a resplendent aplomb, sashay his ass right down the middle of church and say, hey, I'm here, I'm from LSU, but I'm here to watch your daughter get married. So you got to love it. But it's going to be, you know, I see this game. I'm not sure what it's going to come down to. I don't know that it's going to be that close of a game for the first time in a long time. And I think Kerry Clark, and I've got both Thomas and Kerry here on the air with me, Rock Watts out of Mobile, Alabama, and Kerry Clark, both of which are gifted writers for different blogs here in town and different magazines. But I want them to come on and get their share of talking to Dr. Gold as
Bird,
well.
Bird, let me tell you the deal.
Yes, sir.
In a long and short of it, it's all in the passing game this week. If Mr. Mettenberger comes out, let me tell you, I may not like Nicky as a person, but I've told you for as long as I've known you, since he's been in your neck of the woods, you have never heard me say anything but he was the best coach in college football.
Yes, sir.
Ever.
Yes, sir.
Here's the deal. If Nicky puts 8-9 people up in the box and Mettenberger gets up there and can hit a tight end, a fullback, or a slant, it's a wide-open game. If he does a couple of fakes and does a pass 20, 30 yards down to somebody open on a post and out and hits them, what's happened is we thought this guy was going to come in, and I saw him in the spring game, and he had some passes. But since then, in reality, in the game, it ain't been what it's like. Now, some of the things that we're hoping about is early on, he sucked. And Les pulled him back. And each game, they've been doing a little bit better. The deal of this game, we're going to have to throw downfield against a great defensive team. And what happens there, a lot of times, you have interceptions, and the offensive team screws up. I am telling y'all, I think this is one of the greatest Alabama teams to ever get on the field.
Wow.
I just think they are great.
You're pumping us up now. Now I'm starting to get nervous. I wasn't nervous until you said that.
I mean, you know, these guys are so good, it makes you think Nicky likes his wife.
Do you think that LSU being off for 2 weeks, you know, we talked about the offensive line injuries. Do you think that it being off for 2 weeks that they're going to be able to get some of those guys back for this game? Because, I mean, talk about a team desperately needing the break before a big game. I mean, they desperately needed this break before they played Alabama.
Well, here's the problem. You had one guy that wasn't playing that good, and they kind of, you know, he quit. You had, like, three guys that had been hurt. We'd love to get them back. But who's coming back? They either got their panties in a wad and ran off to Memphis, or they're sucking and can't play.
I got my running buddy here down at the studio with me, Dr. Gold. He's making all kinds of faces. Carrie, have you got a comment for Dr. Gold?
No, I wanted to ask Dr. Gold specifically about one very good offensive lineman that's been hurt, that there was a chance that Willerford might come back this week. Where do we stand on that?
There is a good chance. I think Josh is going to be back. He got, they're still, you know how these folks are with football. They're vague. It's still very vague exactly what happened. We think we had a concussion. I mean, God Almighty, we know he had a concussion. I think he's back this week. But the factor is he, you know, how much does he play? And look, the other thing is, it really doesn't matter how much he plays. We're not going to run for 300 yards up the middle against Alabama. This year it ain't happening.
Well, to be fair, you did a pretty good job.
This year it's all about can Mettenberger pass. Let me tell you something. Mettenberger throws for 250 yards. You boys ought to be nervous. And if he throws for 119 yards, we better hope you don't make us kiss your butts.
Well, Dr. Gold, this is Thomas Watts. One of the knocks against the LSU offensive scheme was, as Mettenberger kept getting beat up in early, like games earlier in the season, they started doing a lot of max protect where everybody would stay in but a wide receiver or two, and you're letting the secondary essentially gang cover two guys. Do you see LSU opening it up more to try and, you know, do a combo route where you can exploit the flat or exploit a 10-yard curl route? Or do you see more max protect to hold off the Alabama pass rush and the exotic blitz schemes that you have to know are coming?
Sir, you have asked the perfect question. Let me tell you. My boss is the past president of the Tiger Athletic Foundation. And we spoke this morning. Unfortunately, Les doesn't listen to me. But not an asshole. I'm sorry, I can't say that on radio. But here's the deal. You are exactly correct. The question is, will he be so hard-headed like he was in the national championship game where you whipped our butts? Or will they open it wide open and go for broke? In fact, the matter is, if we run the typical LSU 3 yards on a cloud of dust, it's going to be a long night. And I'm going to be sorry I'm at the game.
Well, that is one of the big things that's come out. The other question I have, and you brought this up briefly earlier, in terms of LSU's defensive line versus Alabama's offensive line, where do you see that matchup? As an Alabama person, it's hard for me to buy into the fact that the defensive tackles for LSU will get much push against the interior of the Bama offensive line, particularly along the left side with Warmack and Jones. But how do you see it? I know you've watched much more LSU than I have.
My personal feeling is you have the advantage. What may help us is our linebackers are better than people thought. And we have a lot of that athleticism. Having said that, I've said from the start of this conversation, I would like to tell you that I feel really good about us whipping your ass, but this ain't the year. On the other hand, I was in the stadium in 97 and 2004 when Florida came to town. So on any Saturday night, anything can happen.
Especially at nighttime in Death Valley. Oh,
and
my goodness.
And by the way.
Yes, sir.
How many people listen tonight? 4,000 or 5,000?
Something like that.
So I may love LSU. I bleed purple and gold. I'm Jewish. I have a prayer shawl that's purple and gold. But my niece was Miss Alabama. Don't you guys ever forget that.
You're too kind. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. As always, you bring great stuff when you come on BAMS, and we thoroughly enjoy it. You got to give us a Boudreaux joke. You got to give me a before we let you go. Thomas, do you have anything else for Dr. Gold before I get a Boudreaux joke out of him?
Nah, thanks so much for coming on with us. That was some great insight.
How about you, Kerry?
I appreciate him coming on, and I hope he'll come back for basketball season.
Yes, sir.
But
anyway,
Bert,
how
far can we go on this Boudreaux joke?
As far as you want to go, my friend.
So, how about a Marie joke?
Give us a Marie joke.
Can we do a Marie joke? Marie, she was a professional woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she wake up them one morning, she got them itch. She went in town, she seen them sign, horticulture. She walked in there, and she said, Matt, you got any cream for them bug in the bush? And it's in Marie, yeah, sure. Put them savin dust on them bug in the bush. Come back in 3 days. 3 days later, Marie, she come back. They said, Marie, how you done? She said, oh, pooey, mais sure. It killed them bug, them bush, and 3 fishermen down them bayou.
Oh, God, snort on radio. That just happened.
It did. It did. I'm sorry. It's a gentleman. I
broke. It's like
created
wild
radio
water
suicide.
Sport. Hello?
We just ran all over each other. What did you say, Dr. Gold?
I just want to tell the Bama Nation that the Bird is the real deal. He's the greatest guy in the world, and he's my brother.
Well, it's always an honor to have the famous and infamous Dr. Gold in so many cities around America, because trust me, Dr. Gold and I have had more than our share of good times in some of America's finest establishments from coast to coast.
And Bird, yes. One other thing.
One other thing.
We're talking football now, and this year in basketball, LSU's going to suck. But we hired a good coach. You need to come down this year and come to the game with me. I am part of the coaches committee. And 3 years from now, we're going to be contending for everything.
You know what? We're excited as well. At Bama, I love this. I love Anthony Grant. I love what he's doing. I love how he's doing it. I love what he recruits. He's a smart. He's a great tactician on the sideline. And I just renewed my season tickets. The offer is a reciprocity, my friend, a reciprocity. I'll tell you what. I'll make this deal with you. You host me down there for LSU and Alabama basketball, and you can come up here, and I'll host you up here, and we will absolutely paint Tuscaloosa red, as usual.
Done deal. Take you to the coaches' club.
I'll even
tell them you're a traitor bastard.
You know what? I'm about to put two of my favorite callers on simultaneously. King Crimson is one of the great callers of all time on BAMS, and I'd love to hook him up with you with Dr. Gold. So, gentlemen, if you will hang loose, I'm going to go ahead and let King, are you there?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween-y to you, too. I've got you on with Dr.
Gold. Happy Halloween-y.
How you doing, Dr. Gold? I've enjoyed listening to you. I know hanging out with Bird is a lot of fun. The man knows how to have a good time, and I really enjoy it. Hey, sir?
You've been to his tailgate?
Oh, yeah. I've been to quite a few. I'm a regular. My wife is, too. She makes it sometimes down when I can't make it. But, hey, I just had a trick-or-treater. And he was a cute little kid, and he was dressed up, and he kind of had a speech impediment. And I said, what are you dressed up as? And he said, a pirate. I said, a pirate? I said, well, where's all your buccaneers? He said, they're on my bucking head, sir. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty good joke. But anyway, we've been handing out candy, having a good time. I tell you what scares me, is the Crimson Tide. Because they for real, y'all. I had no idea. I felt like this has been a good grudge match, you know, with Mississippi State, because they got a good football team. But just like I told Sir Thomas a while ago when he was talking to me on the phone, listen, people say, Alabama don't play nobody. Uh-uh. We make people look like nobody. That we play our game. You play football like we want you to play football. You want to run it up the middle? Fine. Bring it. You want to pass it? Yeah. So what's the template now? What are they going to gripe about us now? I don't know. We got an incredibly good football team. I'm proud of them. I really am.
Let me tell you all, too. The sad thing is, this is going to be the year that Alabama deserves to be in the national championship because they're there. And the rest of the world, because NBC pays $50 million a year for Notre Dame, they're going to be there. So beat the shit out of them when you get there.
And the last time we played, I was there and witnessed that. that beat down. But I tell you what, guys, that would be a great national championship. But we got to get through next Saturday.
No, because they don't deserve to be there. They're going to be there
Ever since I was a kid, I heard my dad always say this. Alabama gets rooked out of more championships and more rankings because of the sports writers, the northern sports writers, you know, because they all was Notre Dame homers.
Look,
and they're going to treat them like a king. I mean,
you're not calling the northern sports writers. Call them what they are, Yankee bastards.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. Well, that is true.
Hey, guys. Thank both of you for coming on tonight. King, you want to hang out some? We got Don Kassler coming up in just a minute, Legend on Legend Island. You guys are all listening
Sir,
yes, sir.
The legend didn't come on and talk with me. I'm hurt.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you're welcome to call in on in about 30 minutes after we talk to Don Kassler from the Birmingham News, and you can talk to the legend.
Last year, the legends always come on with me just because I was on. And I know the legend because we've been at the tailgate at Tuscaloosa together.
We're gonna postpone our break, and I'm going to bring the legend on with you right now. Legend, you and Dr. Gold. It is now, it's a lovely thing about BAMS Radio is I can do any damn thing I want, and I've got Legend and Dr. Gold.
That's what happens when you own the sucker.
That's right. Legend?
Dr. Gold, how you doing, sir? I feel like I'm talking
to Dr. Gold. Hey, Legend, how
singer.
Are you, baby?
I feel like I'm James Bond up in here.
Look, you guys are going to kick our ass this weekend, but I love you.
Well, don't take it personal. But we are going to kick your ass.
Everybody's worrying about bowl games. Let me tell you what bowl game we're going to this year.
Which one? I disagree, Dr. Gold. I think that any of the bowls are going to salivate. And a very strong probability that if you guys don't beat us this weekend, that whoever the loser of this game is probably going to be going to the Sugar Bowl, because the winner of this game is most likely going to be playing for the national championship. Because whoever the East sends, we're gonna dog pound them. If you catch my drift.
I couldn't agree more, but you know what? Let's all be honest, and I am not prejudiced, but Alabama is the best team in the country this year.
It's strong coming from you, my friend.
Let's just put it out like it is. There is one best team in the country, and Alabama's going to kick the nerd out of anybody.
Wow.
I like what Steve Spurrier had to say today. If Alabama was playing Jacksonville, he'd like Alabama in the game over Jacksonville in the NFL. I mean, I think you're right. I think Alabama's head and shoulders above the rest of the nation. I think LSU was right there with us last year. But I think, Dr. Gold, you will even admit LSU has slipped a little bit in comparison to Alabama right now.
Well, you know, here's the deal. A year ago this time, you had a quarterback that was tentative, and let's be honest, Nicky kind of held him back, and we're in that situation this year. But we're too far into the year, and here's the deal. If we don't beat you guys, I am Roll Tide Roll.
That's quite a feat. You know, before I let you go, and I'm going to pose this to both Legend and Dr. Gold, what's Rob Bolden do? That kid you picked up, the starting quarterback for Penn State, has he seen the field at all this year, Dr. Gold?
No. You know, that was called insurance. It's like if Mettenberger goes down and the backup goes down, and we got nobody that can do anything. Because that's been LSU's Achilles heel. we have these great teams, and then all of a sudden the quarterback gets hurt, and we are screwed for life.
I agree with you totally, Dr. Gold. I think LSU, I don't think Mettenberger is the quarterback they thought he was. And
I
think we're going to beat LSU with about 21 points on Saturday night, brother. But, hey, Dr. Gold, we love you, man.
Anyway,
what's going on?
Hold on, dudes. Let me tell you how it is. This is the end of the deal. This is the deciding factor. Quarterback has to make decisions. So here's the deal. You know, my wife told me that some people were telling her that elks have sex once a day. And all I can say, screw me, I joined the Rotary. That's all I'm going to say.
As always, a scintillating segment from our good friend down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Les sons, les bons roulés temp, I think is the way it goes. See, there you go. You got to teach me this stuff. Well, listen, again, much appreciation to Dr. Golden sitting in with our square pegs to try to fit in round holes here on the Bampocalypse. And you are listening to BAM's Radio. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we've got the lovely Jocelyn, and we are waiting for Don Kosler to call in. So, Don, if you're out there, give us a call.
I love you.
Later, Gold. Love you, too.
Bye.
Confusion at LSU against Ole Miss.
You know, there's really no polite way to say this, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Les Miles is just freaking idiot.
I spent last night cussing a coach from Louisiana. I heard his apology and I am still deterred. Such a strange combination of admittance and denial. In his new occupation, we need to fire Les Miles down in Baton Rouge.
Timeouts were being called verbally. I didn't relate to the official apparently mistake. We didn't know the timeout had not been called.
A replay of last night has been thrown through. 76 seconds left and Les can't find the sideline. The players did their shot and made a crucial play. We need Les to pay attention or another coaching change in Baton Rouge. Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta make the play call for LSU. Hurry up, get Les on the line. Someone's gotta step up and call time.
And clock management and game management really always falls on the head of the head coach. It was very poor late in this football game, wasting 17 seconds to call that final timeout, and not having the field goal team ready to run onto the field after Terrence Tolliver catches the football to give himself a chance to win the football game.
Where have you been, Tebow, man? I hope you're doing fine. I seem to remember you were crying all the time, and Ingram too, but you don't know the pain of running out of time.
Whoa,
let's
LSU. I do not know
who told him. Someone should remind Les that we live in the age of television where cameras are everywhere.
Operator, won't you put me on through? I gotta make the play call for LSU. Hurry up, get Les on the line. Someone's gotta step up and call time.
Is the reason why LSU is 8-3 right now instead of being 9-2?
Whoa, 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 and the Tigers lose.
Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Yeah.
to the left. With your hands on your hips.
You can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. Nothing like a little full action of LSU football, which is scary enough in itself, and Halloween at the same time. We are going to bring on one of our favorite callers. We have got the lovely Jocelyn with us this evening. Jocelyn, how are you? You've got Legend, a little bit before Legend Island's geared up. You got the inimitable Gary Clark, Rock Watts from Mobile, and, of course, the Bird. How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. Happy Halloween and Roll Tide, y'all.
RTR and HW to you, too.
Roll Tide.
How are y'all doing?
Blessed.
Blessed.
Give out lots of candy.
I'm blessed too. I was calling in to tell y'all that LSU better get ready because they're fixing to experience a Bama beatdown.
I agree with everything Dr. Gold said, Jocelyn. I think there is a potential this week for us to literally go into Death Valley and embarrass LSU. I think that probability is kind of high. Excuse me, I'm drinking a Coke Zero, and as you can tell, the lovely carbonated Coke Zero is coming back and talking to me. But I think there's that strong probability we could go down there and we could literally kick their ass. But at the end of the day, LSU is LSU. We are playing in Death Valley. And I don't know if you've ever been down to Baton Rouge during a night game. It is probably, without a doubt, the most intimidating place I've ever been to see a football game. Kerry, what do you think?
I think that's a great point, Bird. Jocelyn, what's your prediction for the score this week?
I'm going to say Alabama 34, LSU, or let me say LSU 14.
I am going to say Alabama 24, LSU 10.
I think both of those are good picks. And just like I said, I think they could go either way. It could be a blowout like Jocelyn just said. It could also be a fairly close game going into halfway through the third quarter. And Dr. Gold made comment that if we keep his defensive line, I don't care how good they are, but we keep them on the field and pound them, halfway through the third quarter, we'll start pulling away.
Jocelyn, do you ever come to the home games for Alabama?
I do.
You need to come by the BAMS radio tailgate.
Pal. She's been. She brings,
I do
she
all
brings
the
our,
time.
She brings our friend Bring the Pain. So if you're there when Bring the Pain's there, usually Jocelyn's there with.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's always great to see both of them.
Yeah, I haven't been down there much lately. I've been missing y'all. So.
What's wrong with that? What's up with that? I feel bad.
So we were playing the last time doing the Mississippi State game. I thought we was gonna get the chance to go, but something came up and we couldn't go and everything. So. But Daniel and I are planning on coming for the last three home games for sure. So
great.
You know what the news is? My information, and pretty much everybody's information, is that if Alabama wins LSU, there's a real good chance that the A&M game will be at 2:30.
Oh, thank
you. So that'll make it better on everybody.
Yes.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
I'm ready for more day games.
I'm ready to bring down some coffee and some sweet rolls as a change in bill of fare at the BAMS tent. What do you guys say?
Have y'all noticed that every time we play LSU, whether it's at Tuscaloosa or at Death Valley, they're always scared to play us during the day. It's always at night.
I don't blame them. I mean, I've been down there for several games, and I can tell you, as a hosted fan from the other team, they will start partying with their cornflakes first thing in the morning. I mean, I'm not kidding, darling. I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Those boys are serious, and they are going. They're going at it hard, and they're drinking from early in the morning till the kickoff at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. And you get that fan base riled up, and that much liquor in them for a night game, and I'm telling you, it just rolls. I mean, you can feel the side, and I'm not kidding on this one. They have a school of what is it that's that monitors earthquakes? What
geology.
School? Thank you, Thomas. School of geology, and from those guys stamping their feet during the game at a nighttime game. Now I've never heard it during the daytime, but at a nighttime game, they will set off the Richter scales over at the geology lab with the Cajuns going crazy, stomping their feet and hooting and hollering. True
well,
story.
I have an observation. Other than the Shula and Dubose eras, Alabama's pretty much owned them at night in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those two guys found the way to lose a couple of night games. But Stallings owned them over there at night. Coach Bryant sure owned them over there at night. And I was there just a few years ago when John Parker led Alabama to a win in overtime. And, of course, that game kicked off in the daytime. But when it was over, it was night.
Again, it's different than if they're walking in the stadium, Kerry, and it's pitch dark than if they're walking in during the day. It is a whole different world.
But regardless, other than Mike Dubose and Mike Shula, Alabama's pretty much owned them at night.
Didn't Sean Alexander have his breakout game against them? Okay.
As a redshirt freshman?
Yeah, I mean, he just ran all – he ran like some stupid – like 235, 285 yards. Chat room, help us out here. Sean Alexander is a freshman. I mean, he just – he was over 200 yards that evening. He just went crazy at LSU.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, give us your prognostication. Legend, I'm stepping off of you, buddy. Give us your prognostication on what do you think is going to win the game. If we win the game, when we win the game – Jocelyn, do you think it's going to be a running game, it's going to be a passing game, or do you think it's going to be a mixture of the two that beats LSU?
I honestly think it's going to be a mixture of the two.
Well, the numbers seem to bear that out because you look at the numbers, and right now they're just about dead equal on the number of yards gained through the air versus the number of yards gained on the ground. And this is just like last year. It was the percentages, and again, Thomas probably can pull it right out of his hat, but bottom line was 291 yards from Mr. Sean Alexander. I was close. It was way over 200, closer to 300 yards that he ran for. I mean, he went nuts against those guys. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a mixture of passing and running, and I think at the end of the day, though, the running game of us just pounding those guys up front is going to open up some a Kenny Bell-type touchdown. Well, as always, it's lovely to have you on BAMS Radio. We look for you to call back, and we look forward to seeing you down at the tailgate.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Joshua.
Legend.
Yeah, bud, I've been just kicking back listening to you, man.
I'm on a diabetic roll tonight, that's for sure.
I'm telling you.
I just made that comment about the cinnamon buns, and I bet my blood sugar went up 50 points just thinking about it.
Oh, I hear you. I seen Bird the other day. I tell you, he's looking slim. He weighs less than the legend. I was proud of you, boy.
And I had to take that big old heavy watch off my wrist and give it to you so I'd be able to get back in the truck.
I'm telling you, that put me over. That put me weighing more than you when I put the watch on. I put you back in the lead on it.
Well,
we've had a good time Monday night. Oh, Danny Sheridan dropped quite a few bombs over at the Tuscaloosa quarterback club, didn't he?
He was like the Enola Gay over Tokyo, buddy. He had the bomb bait. That's right. The name of the plank got over Tokyo, or not Tokyo, but Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and dropped
Hiroshima.
Thank you. Well,
Thomas is the man. He's the man that can get you a draw. Thomas, how you doing, bro?
Well, my degree was in military history, so that was kind of an unfair into my wheelhouse. But I'm doing great, Legend. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. We got Kerry with us, too?
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, brother, what's going on? Y'all welcome to the island.
I'm just as blessed as I am broke, buddy.
Blessed as
I can relate.
That's double.
Like I tell them at work, the heart is full, but the wallet is empty.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
Well, you know what,
Bird, what was your impressions of Danny Sheridan Monday night? What was the thing that really stood out? And I thought he did a great job.
He did a great job. Danny is absolutely a hoot to listen to, not only on BAMS radio, but as a stand-up speaker. And big kudos and a shout-out to Danny for getting us in as a special guest of Danny down at the Touchdown Club. But I'll tell you the thing that, and none of this is a surprise, but it was a validation of you know, the blog talk stuff going on out there and all the different scuttlebutt from the chat rooms and the chat boards, is that Auburn is in, I think, a definitive, absolutely mark it down, write it in your Bible, World of Hurt with three underscores under Hurt, H-U-R-T, Auburn, that's H-U-R-T, __. That's kind of what I took away from it. I mean, he knew what was going on with the upper echelon within Auburn. He knew the people they were talking to about the new head coach. You know, he gave Chizik very low marks as far as even finishing the season. Just a lot of validation from a guy that I truly respect on his information. And, of course, you know, folks, I got to tell you, every bit of this, before you run to the dadgum chat room, say, yeah, Bam said, this is all off the record, wink, wink. And Danny reminds us that this was all off the record, wink, wink. So, Nutty, what you're hearing tonight is on the record. This is all speculative. This is a speculative reaffirmation or affirmation of some of the stuff I've seen on the chat rooms. Kerry?
Well, you know, I have to give credit to old Danny. He, like most vampires, he knows where the bodies are buried. And it would have been a good night to have Danny on tonight. You know, Count Shippen. I'd like to have heard him tonight. That would be cool. What do you think, legend?
Yeah, I'm going to get it back on soon. I've talked to him since then, and I went out to dinner with him afterwards and got all kind of good nuggets that I have to share in private with y'all. But, hey, Auburn's in big trouble. I mean, you know, Danny dropped some bombs. You know, you had folks on the payroll for 40 years down there. Hush money. They got money to give Gene Chizik to keep him quiet. I mean, they're going to get rid of him. They ain't no big deal. I mean, these folks got money. They've been paying folks off for years to keep quiet. This is a modern-day SMU. This is a disaster. This is a dumpster fire. This is friggin' out of control, like Al Pacino and Justice for All. They're all out of control down in the barn.
Legend, do you think that Chizik will make through the end of the year, or do you think they'll let him play the year out before they either really get serious? Because I think seriously searching for somebody right now. And my speculation is they're not going to wait till the end of the year. They will allow, quote unquote, Gene to go ahead and ceremoniously step down so he's not fired, assume a different position on the staff so they can pay him. And then after we talk about Chizik, let's talk about Trooper and Looper, because I've heard this from three or four different good sources. And Danny never would come out and name a name the other night, but we knew exactly who he was talking about the Auburn assistant coaches that have been pulled off the road. And he named the two incidents, Memphis and Chicago, both. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out who he was talking about. Now, what happens with those guys? Do they just become part of the all-in family that gets paid for the next 10 years?
Do we really want Chizik to not have to come take his medicine at Bryant-Denny? I want him there. Oh, walk off the field with that 63-3 ass whooping. Yeah, come on. Then you can fire him. Do not let him step down before that day. No. He needs to show up and take it like a man. The woodshed is open for business.
Legend did.
Hey, I have to agree. I like to see Chizik get beat down again myself. But the rumor tonight floating around in many places is one SEC coach will be fired in the next 7 days. And if y'all had to guess who that would be, what would be the name that you would throw out there?
It'd be
Chizik or Dooley.
Could be Dooley. It could be Dooley, legend.
Joker Phillips is the Walking Dead too.
Oh, he is. He is a zombie right now.
You know, he's a zombie. That guy. Go ahead and send him a spray of flowers. It's like my wife said the other night. She goes, Gene Chizik's wife, if she's not down in his office packing his stuff, because we watched the Texas A&M game. She goes, His wife needs to be down there with a cardboard box packing that man's office up, because he won't last another 2 weeks. Now, when the redhead, when Miss Bird steps in and makes comments like that, I sit up and listen, because she's usually right.
Miss Bird is rarely wrong. She is a tremendous woman, ain't no doubt about it. I will testify. Bird has been blessed.
Real nice pitch.
Hey,
real nice pitch.
I'll say
today.
This right here. They're claiming that Joker Phillips has put together some great recruiting classes down in his freshman and sophomore. Kentucky might be wise to hold on to him, because, I mean, Jesus could win five games at Kentucky right now. Come on.
Well,
I mean, that's pathetic, dude. I think they'll let him have a football team in the SEC. I mean, come on.
Kentucky has been decimated by injuries. It's one of the most injured teams in FBS. If Joker Phillips is given a year or two more, which I don't think is unreasonable, because Kentucky is not going to be able to compete with the Alabamas and the Tennessees of the world in the SEC, let him develop the talent he's brought there. And I think Kentucky could have mid-range success in the East and become that Mississippi State Ole Miss game where you're like, you'll watch him and be like, okay, they're 6-6, 5-7, 8-4 is a good season. And then they'll come out of nowhere and upset Florida, and they'll just be the toast of the town for a week and a half. But they're probably going to change, which is silly. Calipari's going to bring in enough money to support that athletic department any day of the week. But I'm not the Kentucky AD, and at the end of the day, I don't particularly care. They are, in football, they are not going to ever be the class of the SEC in what now you could call, I guess, the modern era. I put that in air quotes.
Their ceiling in the postseason, their ceiling is Nashville, Memphis, and Shreveport. That's if they hire a great coach. So that's where Kentucky's at in football.
Well, I have to say this right here. Hopefully we'll never talk about Kentucky football again on the island.
Fair enough.
Well, I did have something.
Hey, remember that conversation about basketball one night? We went off. Oh, Lord. Hey, we restrict things. We don't talk golf. I'm just playing. But seriously, what about you, Bird? If you had that one coach out there that might get it the next 7 days, you think Joker or you think Dooley? Dooley's a disaster. Tennessee's just wasting their time. That's just a waste. Somebody needs to tell Tennessee, you got your Mike Shula, get him on out of the way and go get you a big-time coach, because you are a big-time program at the end of the day.
Yeah, my pharmacist, who I just think is one of the best guys on the planet, and again, I'm going to give him a shout-out, because he's a great guy, he's a good community guy, Robert's Discount Pharmacy up here in Bluff Park. But he is a dyed-in-the-wool Tennessee fan. And I asked today, I said, Robert, what do you think about your program? What do you think about Tennessee and Dooley? He just shook his head. He said, Dooley needs to go, and it needs to be sooner than later. A lot of the problems Dooley has are of his own making, and he started going through a litany of – and I hadn't looked at it that way, but he's right. Derek is going to be a fine coach at a mid-sized – Memphis, University of Memphis. Put him in a Memphis, put him in a UAB, put him in, you know, as a head coach at Tampa, where the Bulls are, UCF, any of those schools, and I think he's going to do an admirable job. But people don't realize how bloody tough the SEC is. It's like when they say Alabama doesn't play anybody, you know what? You can suck the boil right off my big red butt when you say that Alabama doesn't play anybody. We have to play in the SEC, you morons. The SEC on any given Saturday, and that's where the wake-up call needs to come to all of us, that on any given Saturday in the SEC, anybody can beat anybody. Ask Auburn.
How about how they're already crying about the 13 Alabama football schedule, the haters already crying because one of our Eastern opponents is Kentucky. Like, we had a choice in it. We had no choice in that. And we had no idea when we signed to play at the Dome first game of the year against Virginia Tech that they would start sliding this year like they had. We didn't know that. So the haters going to hate. That's all you can say.
I'll tell you what. You know what? We've got some open lines, and we got legend, and actually we very rarely have this alchemy of a cocktail here on Halloween.
What's that number, Bird?
number is 714-510-3707. Love to hear from you tonight. Go out to the refrigerator, get you something frosty, put it in your hand, take a big drink of it, and then say, now what's that call, that number again? Well, I'm going to give it to you right now. 714-510-3707. You have got BAM's radio, and you have got the four horsemen of the BAMpocalypse trying their best to put square pegs into round holes. And I guess what I just did is talk myself into a break, if that's okay with you guys. Look at that. We got somebody on the line. While I go to break, Thomas, you screen this caller, and we will be right back. You're listening to BAMs.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. We happen to have a caller, but my Internet Explorer has just decided to eat itself. So, Bert, if you can bring the pain on, we'll see what he's bringing to us tonight.
Pain, you've got Legend, you got the Bird, you got Rock Watts and CC Bama all at the same time. What do you have for us, brother?
What's going on, guys? Roll Tide, T.
Roll Tide, brother.
How y'all doing tonight?
Two thumbs up.
Waiting for Bama to beat the tar at LSU, frankly.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I got a couple of things I want to talk about. You know, won't be too long, which I won't hold y'all up, because I know y'all got plenty other callers calling in.
Not tonight. You got it, baby. Everybody's out trick-or-treating, so it's all yours.
My thing is I always watch ESPN and, you know, BCS Countdown and stuff like that just to see what they'll say. And all year I've heard Alabama hasn't really played nobody. I mean, granted, we've been stomping the mess out of teams all year. Beginning of the year, I heard people say, well, Michigan's going to give us problems. We got past Michigan. Then I heard Arkansas is going to give us problems. We demolished Arkansas. Then we go through our schedule. Well, we haven't really played nobody. Mississippi State is going to give us a challenge. We shut Mississippi State down. Well, we still never played anybody. LSU's probably going to beat us. LSU's got a great defense. LSU's offense, their running game's good. I watched LSU play this year. I haven't seen it from LSU this year. Not on their defense, definitely not on their offense. So when are these people going to give Alabama the respect they deserve?
Is that rhetorical to the panel, or is that just a general statement, Payne?
Just a general statement. You know.
I love you, man. Oh, legend.
Well, don't you think we deserve it?
At the end of the year, let me take it, legend, and then you jump in. At the end of the year, Daniel, do you really give two craps if we're standing there holding the crystal trophy, smooching on that trophy, what anybody anywhere else in the United States thinks other than the loyal BAM's listeners and the people of the Bama Nation?
Nah, not really.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we're trying to stir stuff up, because when you got truly, and I don't know if you heard Dr. Gold's segment, but he is as hardcore of a football fan for LSU as any one of my friends. I got friends that are fans for just about every SEC school. But this guy lives, breathes, and eats LSU football. And when he sits there and says, number one, you're gonna basically mud stomp us, and number two, you all without a doubt the best team in the country. You know, it's hard for an LSU fan to sit. It'd be hard for me to say that. I was last year, you know, whenever we played LSU, it was number one and number two in probably the largest bank robbery in front of 30 million people that I've ever seen. We got robbed on the dadgum goal line by the inequities of the striped zebras with that terrible, terrible pass play. You know what? I still thought that LSU had probably one of the best teams I'd ever seen play college football. But for somebody to come on and say that's a huge shout-out to us. So, end of the day, brother, I'm going to let Legend finish this one off. Legend, pick it up and roll.
Well, I think Payne has hit something there. You know, there's a lot of people hate Alabama in the nation. I think there's a lot of people waking up to the fact that we're the most dominant team in college football and head and shoulders above any other team in the nation right now. That's just not a crimson-colored glasses statement. It's just a matter of fact, if you know how to evaluate rosters, you know how deep a team this Alabama team is and rich in talent. They have one pro scout recently said they have as many as over 50 future pro players on this roster now. That's an amazing. You're talking University of Miami in the 80s. You're talking Oklahoma in the 70s, Alabama in the 70s and 60s. You may be talking about a team that may be on the verge of the greatest run in college football history. Who knows? There's that much talent. It's only a matter of mental now. And I'm kind of with you, Bird. I really care less what they say now, because when we raise them crystal balls up, hey, you know, like K-Dub said, you can kiss them 12 rings and them two crystal balls.
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about this. Did y'all happen to hear John Gruden's comment on Monday Night Football this past week?
No.
Okay.
No.
There takes a little bit of backstory. Monday Night Football this past week was the 49ers against the Cardinals. If you watch a lot of NFL football, which that's like my release, if you will, the 49ers have developed into one of the best defenses over the past 2 years, 2.5 years. They've given up like one 100-yard rusher through 25 games or some ridiculous stat like that. John Gruden on national television, ESPN telecast, as the Niners are beating the crap out of the Cardinals, says, "Good Lord, the 49ers play defense like Alabama."
I like it. I like it.
Payne, I'll tell you, and the fact that we are getting no respect means we are respected. Danny Sheridan made a comment at dinner the other night, and Legend and I kind of looked at each other. He We brought up the Heisman Trophy and why AJ was not more prominently mentioned in the Heisman Trophy race, so to speak. He says because they don't like Alabama. He said anytime you take that stiff, God help me out of here, legend, that was up against Peyton Manning.
Charles Woodson.
And Charles Woodson wins the Heisman, and you've got Peyton Manning who stays an extra year in college, you know, plays for four, puts up phenomenal numbers, is an exemplary citizen, goes on to have a pro career like, I mean, he's you're watching a future Hall of Famer as we speak. You know, they'll be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. But got no love whatsoever. And you tell me right now, balance, if you were to go back and all the geniuses out there, all the talking heads, all the guys that do what I do for free and we do for free that get paid for it, which makes you laugh, at the end of the day, would it be Peyton Manning or Charles Woodson? And then I rest my counselor and judge. I rest my case.
Well, you're going way back for me, so I'm out of my depth there.
I thought it should have been Peyton Manning for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I was thrilled when the coach drafted him number one. I prayed they wouldn't draft Ryan Leaf. I remember.
But Payne, it's a good point, and it's one of those deals that, you know, the fact that that's why I love being a New York Yankee fan. That's why I love being an Alabama fan, because everybody hates your bloody guts from coast to coast. And I color up, baby, and you know what I mean when I say color up. Put on my game day watch, put on my Alabama hat, and I fly home from whatever city I am in America. If you're sitting on a flight and there's a guy sitting in an Alabama hat and a game day watch on, that's the bird. I'm on my flight. I'm supporting my team. I'm coming home Friday, and I don't give a shit if it's San Francisco or New York City.
I've been an Alabama fan through the ups and downs. I never turned my back on Alabama.
Never.
But it just gets so irritating when, you know, we're sitting at top at number one. We're beating every team that we play by 19 or more points. Again, number one in every defensive category out there and still getting dumped on when the number two, three, and four teams are getting more respect. It just don't make no sense.
I think we're getting respect from the disrespect. I'm going to continue to say that. I think that
the hatred.
You know, it is. It's a hatred.
Bro. They hated Ali in his prime. They didn't love Ali. They didn't love Ali until he got sick. You know? They hated Jordan in his prime. I hated UCLA. Let me go old school. You know, when UCLA used to dominate college basketball, you could never beat them come tournament time. I know you know.
You get a kick out of this, legend. I just put one of those Gartland porcelain plates on the wall up in the baseball room, you know, my shrine upstairs. And it's
the shrine. Where you cried over the Yankees.
But I put my John Wooden plate up last night. I cleared everything out. I lit candles. I got the mood.
Oh, Lord.
Dude, John Wooden was the greatest basketball coach, college basketball coach of all time. And I was lucky enough
to
find an autographed John Wooden plate, and it went up in the shrine. So, yeah, I do know what you mean talking about UCLA. But, Payne, you're right. Nobody loves us. Everybody hates us. I'm going to go eat some worms. They can kiss my big red butt.
Hell, yeah. Hey, Bert, let me get this out. Talking to Tommy Williams today. Workplace Saturday night is showing the LSU-Alabama game on the big 25-foot screen. So if you ain't heading to Baton Rouge, I think I'm going to be out Saturday night to watch it. I mean, work plays the place to go. They're going to be partying as we beat LSU's ass. And he's got the NFL ticket now for all the NFL bettors and everything. That's the place to go. Catch it on all the screens down at workplace. Saturday night, LSU, Alabama. Sunday, the NFL ticket.
Legend, and if I'm not mistaken, that particular screen is like watching a dadgum high-end movie theater. I mean, it's beautiful. It's not like one of those where you go down to Slinky's Bar down here, you know, and they got one of those old school projector screens. You know what I'm talking about? Where the colors never really kind of line up. The red's on top of the green, kind of quarter inch off, and the running around out there. No, nah, man, he's got the real deal, and I agree with you. If you're not doing anything and don't have a party to go to, then head on over to Tom Williams. Payne, have you got anything else for us? Because we've got another caller, and I want to go ahead and wrap around you.
Great call, Payne.
You got anything else for us tonight?
No, guys. Y'all can go ahead and tell us other caller. It's great talking to y'all, man, and I'll holler at y'all next time.
Roll Tide, brother. We love
great
you.
Call.
Roll Tide.
Love
y'all too.
Roll Tide.
Well, before we bring our next caller, who's Marty on, I know Marty, he's live with us. Just give me a second.
Oh,
I want to pose a question. I want to pose a question to y'all and to him. Let's play a what if game. Let's say Alabama goes into Baton Rouge at night and wins convincingly 25 to 30 points. I think I'm going to jump on the bandwagon that says Alabama, 2010 Alabama, is reaching into the rarefied air of a certain 1995 Nebraska Cornhusker team that beat everybody they played by 40. I want to get your thoughts on that and how feasible it is, because when you're getting into that level, you're talking legitimately greatest college football team from top to bottom of all time. Just a fun thought to kick around for a few minutes.
Start off with Kerry. Kerry, please.
Well, I think you can start the discussion if that happens. But I think you have to look at the whole body of work in January before you start proclaiming them to be the greatest team of all time. I have to say that this Alabama team has done a great job of fighting off the fact that five contributors were lost for the season, major contributors to the team. Were lost for the season, and they still kept on chugging along. And to this point, Alabama has played better against a better schedule than anybody else in the country. And I would say that if I was not an Alabama fan and alumni, I would still say it. It's just being, you know, we heard a huge Baton Rouge LSU guys say the same thing earlier tonight. I think you can start the discussion, Thomas, if that happens. I don't think it's going to be that kind of margin myself. I think it's going to be somewhere from 14 to 20 points. I'm going 24 to 10 as my official pick. But if it happens like you just described and it is a blowout in Baton Rouge, you can start the discussion. But it's got to really play itself out all the way through January before we can really start comparing it to other teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, this is just some kind of fun kick-around discussion. And Dr. Gold's comment actually made me think of it because that's extraordinarily rarefied air when we're getting to that level, and I just kind of wanted y'all's opinion on it.
I've been saying it all year. Before I say anything else, I want Legend to comment. Legend, how about you?
I really have no fear of this game. I had no fear of the Mississippi State game. I think LSU is definitely a better opponent and our best opponent of the year, but, you know, it goes back to evaluating rosters. I mean, this is a team that's lost Peterson, Claiborne, and a Honey Badger out of that secondary in the last 2 years. They're just not as talented as they were last year. That's the bottom line.
But the question was, is this Alabama team, and put the last 3 years together, okay, if they win a national championship this year, that's 3 out of 4 years, guys, that Alabama has won a BCS national championship in a day and age, by the way, and not to take anything away. And by the way, if you ever get a chance to see some of the Nebraska black shirts, because that's what they call them, and that's the team that we would be compared to, that was some football playing son of a bitches. But I'm going to tell you. I've been comparing these guys to the black shirts since day one of this year. And I think Thomas's point is absolutely valid. I think that in this day and age, and here's my second point to follow on to Thomas's. And Marty, I know you're there, brother. We're rambling.
Oh,
no.
We're
not even going to go to break. We're going to keep you on. Just keep rolling. But here's the second thing. And before everybody's head explodes out there listening on BAM's radio tonight, what do you think if you took Nick Saban and dropped him back 30, 40 years to when Bear Bryant was coaching, and you took Bear Bryant from then and put him now, what do you think the result would be? I'm telling you, Bear Bryant would be a mediocre to okay coach in this day and age and Nick Saban would be Nick Saban, and he would kick Bear Bryant's ass with Bear Bryant players in those in that day. Now, that's heretic. I know it's heretical. It's from the Bible. It'll fans.
Oh, Lord, somebody get the holy water up here in the church. Pastor Murder, what all of them here?
I can do it on Halloween, though, but I'm telling you.
Oh, Halloween! What's your outfit, Bird? You're dressed like a vampire tonight, ain't you?
Not like Danny. What do you guys think? If we were to transpose the roles and stick Nick Saban back in time, bring Bear Bryant forward in time, would Bear Bryant be near as successful as Nick? Now, think of Nick's body of work while at Alabama. It's staggering, people.
Well, here's the thing about Nick Saban. When he got to Alabama, what so impressed me with Nick Saban was a statement that he made that I'll never forget. Nick said, you're in college football, in pros, you only get one first-round draft pick. But in college, you get 25 first-round draft picks. And that's why he loved the college game. And it made great sense to me. And, Bert, I think you nailed it. Back in Bears' day when you could give away 100 scholarships, imagine Nick Saban being able to give out 100 scholarships a year. What kind of friggin' team would come out of that tunnel on a Saturday, brother? It'd be like the Transformers. They'd be Bubble Bean and all kind of stuff coming up out of that tunnel.
And he'd find a way to play all of them. And my last comment, and unless, Kerry, you're not jumping up and down waving at me, so it doesn't look like you've got any. I'll let you gestate on that one. Let's talk.
No, I'm going to save my breath for Marty's call.
Yeah, save your breath for Marty's call. But my one last comment is, Alabama fans, do you realize it's taken Gene Chizik in the past, what, 8 games? How many games have they played? Are they 1-6 or 1-7 now?
I think they're 1-7.
1-7. He has lost more games this year than Nick Saban has in the past 4 years with Alabama.
I love Gene Chizik. Don't talk about it,
but I'm here to tell you, baby. Baby Bear down there on campus is kicking ass and taking names, and he has lost less games in the 4 years he's been here at coach at Alabama than Gene has this year. So,
hey, Byron, hold up just a second now. Everybody with me. Y'all laugh with me now, because this is a funny joke right here. Y'all ready?
Ready.
1-7.
Which, by the way, I just a good friend, Marty. Marty, how the heck are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I know it's true. That's funny as hell. That's funny. That's funny, brother. That's funny as hell.
My Borscht Belt comedian friend. You've been listening too much of my Jewish buddy down in Baton Rouge, Dr. Gold, because you're up there on the Catskills on stage right now. Marty, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. It couldn't be a better time to be an Alabama fan, that's for sure.
Amen.
Going back to Thomas's question and your question, Bird, starting with Thomas's question first, you know, every year that I've ever seen, you go through a national championship run, there's always that one game it seems like you need a little bit of luck to happen in that game to get by. And I keep looking for it this year on every game we come to. So is this going to be the game? It's going to come down to something that we're going to have a little luck on our side to get through this game. And I hadn't seen it this year, you know. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen this year. And if it doesn't happen, I'll have to agree with Thomas. This has to be the best Alabama football team overall, defense, offense, running back, quarterback, receivers, linebackers, defensive back, defensive tackles, offensive line that I've probably ever seen. And I'm 53 years old, and I probably have never seen a team that good. But again, that is if they get through this season and win the national championship. I will say that.
And talking about Bear and
Nick Saban. Bear had the statue of respect in his time, and he was like the father figure of all of them, and nobody disagreed or whatever because they knew the consequences, and people wanted to come play for that. And I do think Bear Bryant was a very intelligent person because he knew how to change the game. He knew how to push the players to get the most out of them, and I do agree he did have a lot of players to play with. How they would fare with each other, that's just, it's unknown. I know Nick Saban, he outworks people. He outworks other coaches. He outworks everybody. He's just a workaholic in what he does. And it shows on the football field. It shows every game they play. It shows why they get better every game, every game. You can just always count on him improving because he outworks the competition. But, you know, it's just really hard for me to compare them. But, you know, it's a great situation to have if you have two great coaches like that.
Amen. Well, you know what we've got for you? We've got your Wednesday night statistics, Marty. And I actually tried to throw the ball to Kerry. He says, you know, just let me save my breath so I can run through this for Marty. So I'm going to give Kerry the ball. He's going to carry this and try to put us in the end zone.
Here we go. Alabama against Mississippi State. Now, Marty, I got to tell you, I threw off the road SIDs last week for leaving people off in Knoxville that I knew played from the TV. Well, this week I found out the university passed out the titillation chart. I found five guys that our own Homestat crew missed, so I'm going to add them at the very end. The sheet that turned out to the media listed 55 players, but I'm going to name another five so I can tell you at least 60 played in the game. Here's your starters. Offense, tackle Cyrus Quanjo, guard Chance Warmack, center Barrett Jones, guard Anthony Steen, tackle DJ Fluker, tight end Michael Williams, quarterback A.J. McCarron, running back Eddie Lacy, receivers Amari Cooper, Christian Jones, and Kevin Norwood. Defensively, at one end, Ed Stinson. At the nose, Jesse Williams. At the other end, Damian Square. Benny Sinceri, safety, started as extra defensive back. At the middle linebacker, Trey DePriest. At the wheel linebacker, C.J. Mosley. At the jack, Xavier Dixon. At the two corners, Deion Ballou and D. Milner. At safeties, Robert Lester and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Coming off the bench, some of these guys played defense, offense, or special teams, but all of them got at least one snap. You had John Fulton. You had Tanae Patrick. You had Cody Mandel, the punter. You had T.J. Yeldon, who is now the team's leading rusher. That's the third Kerry Clark prediction come true of the night, by the way. T.J. Yeldon is now the team's leading rusher, and I'll go ahead and save it. Eddie Lacy is not going to catch him. Going on, Adrian Hubbard came off the bench and played most of the game at outside linebacker. Carson Tinker, the snapper. Jeremy Shelley, another good game for him. Blake Sims picking up the offense at quarterback. Kenny Bell, another big game for him. Cyrus Jones has come into his own as a returner. Jeffrey Pagan getting better every week on the D-line. Philip Ely, shout out to that young man from Tampa who threw his first career touchdown pass. That's right. I didn't think we'd ever see that, but we did. Bradley Seal, Kenyon Drake, another touchdown for that young freshman from Atlanta. Reggie Ragland, Brent Callaway, Geno Smith, Landon Collins, Nick Perry, Denzel Duvall, who has really come a long way at Jack linebacker and is actually, according to my sources, pushing Xavier Dixon for the starting job right now. So shout out to Denzel Duvall. Wonder if he was named after Denzel Washington. I'm not really sure. Kelly Johnson, Nico Johnson, Tyler Hayes, Cade Foster, DJ Petway, another man coming on. Brandon Ivory continues to do a great job backing up Jesse. That's Bird's boy right there. Kelvin Williams, ironically, the only offensive lineman listed by the university, but I'll tell you four more that I witnessed after we get done with this main chart. Marvin Shin, his role is starting to grow a little bit. Danny Woodson Jr., Harrison Jones at H-back, Brian Vogler, Malcolm Faison, and Darren Lake. Darren Lake is a guy that's getting a lot of attention in practice. They are really grooming him for next year. Now, that's the 55 the university gave out. We are allowed, as people that sit in the press box, to go to the sidelines for the last 5 minutes of a game. And I went down there and I observed the following five players get into the game that did not make this list. But I know for a fact they played because I saw them with my own four eyes. That's Chad Lindsey, Ryan Kelly, Austin Shepard, and Ari Quanjo on the line. And the man they call White Lightning, walk-on wide receiver Nathan McAllister, a senior from Russellville, Alabama. So, Marty, by my count, they played 60. That's what I'm going to go with because I know for a fact that those other five guys got in the ball game because I witnessed it right there in front of me on the sideline. So that's what we got as far as the participation chart against Mississippi State, Marty.
Unbelievable against an undefeated team, too.
That is a friggin' impressive, Bird. That is friggin'.
Oh, that was scary. That
I wish I had more hands so I could give you four thumbs up for what you just did, brother. Again, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. Over 50 players who will be future NFL players. Even when you got down in the 50s, I'm thinking, this guy's got pro potential. Hey, talking about pro potential, let me throw this out before we get out. Ace Tree Land Service right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
the best tree service in the nation, my boy Brad. If you need any kind of lawn work, any kind of landscaping, any kind of tree removal, anything you need from the ground up, Brad's the man. Check out Ace Tree and Landscaping. Bird, love you, dude. That was friggin' impressive.
Well, actually, it was Kerry that did that. He brings the lumber every week for Marty when he's out.
I know. I'm just saying that was friggin' impressive.
The man. I'll tell you what. This is a hobbyist show, if you want to call it as such. We're all very proud of our work when we bring to BAMS. But you look at the quality of work that Kerry Clark puts on the air with us, that Thomas Watts puts on the air with us, with yourself and Blip. I mean, all of you guys have got just a special, special gift, and it's to me, it's great radio. I enjoy listening to you guys every single Wednesday night. If I wasn't on the air with you, I'd be tuned in listening to you. And you know what? If you're on with us tonight, tell your friends. We'd love to have more listeners, more callers. You know, we're not going to shove anything up your nose unless you love Alabama, because if you don't love Alabama, then, you know, the heck with you. Change the channel. That's right. Find something else. But, Marty, appreciate you calling in tonight. Give us your pick on the score for this weekend.
I'm going to be a little bit more conservative than I have been. I'm going to have to go about 17-10, Bama.
That is conservative. I think this is going to be a Jekyll and Hyde game, Marty. It could be anywhere from a 34-14 game, which I think I'm leaning toward rather than the slugfest 6-3, 17-10 type game. And I think the issue is, and again, this is just me being a prognosticator, the issue is the strength of our O-line against anybody. I think we've got more depth. I think we can keep enough fresh guys on. I think our schemes with defense are absolutely going to befuddle the Statue of Liberty standing behind that offensive line with LSU. Because if Mettenberg has proved anything this year to me is that there's a whole lot of cotton candy stuffed up there where gray matter should be between those two silicate appendages called ears on his head. So this should be an interesting game.
The only thing concerns me a little bit is LSU maybe coming off the edge. You know, Western Kentucky had a little bit of success coming off the edge and getting to the quarterback. And I old Chavis, he's going to look at that. And that's the only thing that worries me. That's the only thing in the game that worries me is LSU coming off the edge and getting to McCarron. I just pray that don't happen.
Well, here's the Kerry Clark strategy prediction of the week on how we stop that, Marty. I think DJ Fluker has shown that he does need help on pass protection. I think Kelly Johnson will be asked to stay in line up in the slot just off of just to the right of DJ and help on some of those plays, and that'll help keep AJ's jersey a little cleaner.
Not that you know this, of course, directly.
No, it's just the same guy that picked Georgia over Florida.
God, we're going to have to sit with that. Are we going to have to listen
to that? Until this show's over.
Great. Just what I wanted to listen to. No, the edge thing is a very interesting point you bring up, because John Chavis, it's fairly famous for his interest in bringing pressure off the edges, whether it be Sam Montgomery or Barkevious Mingo or a corner or even a safety. But if one thing that I've noticed, particularly in the past couple of games, is that if DJ Fluker gets beat, he's at least able to make the defensive end go outside. The only time that I can remember that either of Alabama's tackles got beat inside was an inside move that Cyrus Kwanjo got surprised on by a Mississippi State player. But if Fluker and Kwanjo can force those ends to go further outside, AJ McCarron has developed a certain amount of pocket presence to where he will get away from trouble by shifting the pocket. Now, is that something you want to bank your entire blocking scheme strategy on? No, it isn't. But it's definitely a mitigating factor. The other thing is, it's not like DJ Fluker hasn't seen Kiki Mingo and Sam Montgomery for two games already in the past calendar year, and he hasn't done a terrible job against either of them. So I see what you're saying with edge problems, but if defensive ends start just going straight towards the quarterback, you're going to see a draw play go for forever and a year. on Saturday night, because all Alabama will do will just say, okay, Chance, you're one-on-one against Benny Logan. Blow him out of the way. Okay, Barrett, you have a scrape block on the other tackle to go blow up Kevin Minter. And then T.J. Yeldon's going to be running like a gazelle and running Eric Reed over. That's what will happen if the ends sell out to get T.J. McCarron.
I'll tell you something else that's going to happen, Thomas. And Alabama coaches are smart enough to be able to read when LSU's going to send outside linebackers. That's when you throw a screen to T.J. or to Eddie. And just, as Medea would say, tat that ass up.
Absolutely.
I will say this right here. Monday night, Danny Sheridan picked LSU plus the 10 points, indicating that he really liked LSU on Saturday night. Now, being the pro evaluator that I am, the one area that LSU can say they match up with Alabama, I do think is on their front line. When you look at Montgomery, Anthony Johnson is a beast. He will be a future pro player. Wingo, whatever the hell they call him. But that is another beast of a player. So I'm kind of with Marty. If there's an area as good as the Alabama offensive line is, the LSU defensive line is the one area, talent-wise, that they can match up into a war of epic proportions, I think, Saturday night. I think Alabama has them beat at every other position. I give the edge there in the trenches, but that's the one area pro-wise. And let me also remind everybody about Delta Pond, real-life Pond star in Birmingham, Alabama, on the south side, my boy Gene Paul. A real-life Pond star right here in Alabama. I was telling somebody that I did it, Daryl from Georgia, reminded me of the Chumley guy on the show, the Pond Stars. But let me throw this question out to y'all. I don't know, we're running over. I love this. I feel like we're radio pirates again, Bird. Sports radio pirates at the night, in the Halloween night, taking down all the people that don't love Alabama. But anyway, let me ask y'all this. If Danny Sheridan is right and this is a close game and Alabama has to depend on A.J. McCarron, the national talk is that A.J. could not come from behind in the fourth quarter and win a game. What would be your opinion if Alabama goes into the fourth quarter down 7 points and has to depend on A.J. McCarron? Can he do it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. I think so.
What evidence did this national person used to say A.J. McCarron can't do that because he's never done
this
it before?
Danny's going by those four plays A.J. had in the 2010 Iron Bowl. That's bull crap. When he's there, he has a chance to do it.
He actually referenced that, to Kerry. I mean, that's...
And I wasn't even there.
No, me either. But the bottom line is that A.J. and this A.J. are two different animals. And that's why... Before the season started, I went ahead and got my downs on Miami because I looked at the offensive line. I've got a quarterback that now has a giant ring on his finger, that has won a BCS national championship and done it convincingly. And it's quite obvious at the end of the year, and it's been quite obvious all year long, that this kid is pretty much unflappable. I don't care. Spot us 10 points. I see A.J. as being cool as a cucumber. He's a leader on the field. He's a leader on the sideline. When his knee got popped up in Missouri, it's like, don't give me that dadgum brace. I mean, that was a leadership thing. He was like, I'll play through the pain. Let's go get some more. So, guys, I don't know. I don't see it. I think that A.J. is going to be more than fine. And Danny sometimes will stir the... Danny's still on the Mettenberger train, and I jumped off of that before he ever took the damn field. So,
I agree with that guy. Looks like the Statue of Liberty out there.
He gets
looks like Mark Herman without the passing ability.
He looks like
that's
Dirk
old
Diggler.
School there. I just went real old school there.
He looks like Dirk Diggler to me. Seriously, though, a couple of tidbits just came over on Twitter I wanted to share before we get off the air. And Legend, you'll get a kick out of both of these. Auburn has supposedly sent an inquiry to Houston Nutt to see if he wants to interview. That's number one. And number two, tiring of the recruiting process, five-star wide receiver Robert Foster appears to be closing in on the commit, but pretty much down to Alabama, Pitt, and Ohio State's on the outside looking in. So it may be in the next 3 to 4 business days that we get some news on Robert Foster. He had a great visit to Tuscaloosa last weekend. Just want to throw those two things out there because I know we're just about run out of time here. Oh, yeah, the Pirates.
Let me
well,
jump in.
Well, you know,
in
at Alabama,
briefly.
We don't recruit, we select.
We don't rebuild, we reload. I agree.
We reload. That's borrowing what I say. Well, Marty, I tell you what, it's been fun tonight, and we're about to put this show to bed. Give me a big roll tide, brother, and it'll be fun talking to you next week as we celebrate yet another victory over the Bayou Bengals down in LSU.
Roll tide and go New Mexico State.
And Marty, let me know when you're gonna hook a brother up for some catfish at the top of the river in Gaston.
You just give me a buzz. It's you know.
I'll do it, buddy. We'll
hook you up. Just let me know one Wednesday night or one Sunday night, and I'll definitely hook you up.
I'll eat the hell out of them fried pickles.
I'm with you, Kerry. I love that stuff.
Well, you can drive.
Better than the fat boy loves cake, I'm going to tell you,
man.
You
can drive, man.
you might have to broadcast BAMs from top of the river then.
We could do it. Maybe we could do like a Gadsden City playoff game or something.
That beats being
that'd be cool.
Out of a mountain from Sutchess, Georgia, that's for sure. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, Marty. If they'll give us a free order of fried pickles, we'll come up and broadcast and do a live remote.
I'm sure they would accommodate it.
Fun.
They got some
real time, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, I'm in.
Thanks,
I'm
Marty.
The ear of corn. I'm in.
We appreciate you, Marty. Thank you for listening to BAMS. Well, guys, let's tie this thing together. As always, honored to get to spend some time on the air with you. This has been a terrific show. Missed Blip tonight, but he's away on super secret duty in Chicago, Illinois, scouting our. You know, I know what he's doing. He's up there at the Golden Dome. Because you're right. So whoever it was that said earlier, I guess it was Dr. Gold, that NBC pays $50 million to air the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. There's a reason for that. And they are the darlings of college football. And I'm going to tell you, if when the BCS rolls around, it's Alabama and Notre Dame, and those tickets are going for $10,000 a seat, I will squint hard at about selling my seats for $10,000 a seat, and then I'll get my ass on an airplane, fly down, watch the Tide kick the living crap out of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Touchdown, Jesus. Where are you? All right, folks, you're listening to BAMS. Any parting comments, Kerry?
Yeah, ugly game.
My car's... My parting comment is, if Notre Dame somehow squeaks by Southern Cal and gets to play Alabama in the national championship, it would be the battle of the two greatest traditions in college football history, bar none. I'd like to see it. I'm not counting on it happening because I think it's going to be Alabama-Oregon or maybe even Alabama-Kansas State. But if it happens and we do play Notre Dame, and I say this fully realizing that our head coach Nick Saban is a Catholic, but on that night, most of the Alabama fan base is Baptist and Protestant. Touchdown Jesus will be over on that side of the field. If it happens.
Thomas, how about a parting shot for us before we sign off?
If Notre Dame plays Alabama down in Miami, Alabama will enter as a probably 2-touchdown favorite. Alabama would cover maybe even upwards of 25 points because Notre Dame's offense is just an atrocity. It's a totally defensive-based team. And I never got to give an LSU pick. I've got 27-13 Bama this weekend.
I was going to say 30-14 or 27-13. Either one of those, I think, are righteous scores. I think that – or it could be – they could get blanked. I'm telling you guys, they could – until we bring in the second and third string, we could snuff these guys. This defense is that good. So, Legend, how about you?
Well, Bird, I just have to say that I personally think that if Notre Dame played Alabama, it would look worse than when Nebraska played Florida for the national championship one year. I think it was like 55-13. I think it would be one of the worst
62-24
national championship history. I really do. And as far as LSU, I didn't throw out a prediction, but I like Alabama big. I like T.J. Yeldon to go off big time on Saturday night. To run over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns as Alabama puts a worse beat down on LSU than they did in New Orleans, 38-10, Alabama.
Roll Tide. Well, guys, as always, it's been terrific. Roll Tide to each of you. It's going to be fun talking about the rear view mirror next Wednesday night, and then of course looking ahead to Texas A&M, because this game on are the defining games for this Alabama Crimson Tide, and we're going to find out if we're contenders or pretenders. I think what we all know what the answer is. I think they're contenders, but we're going to find out then. Gentlemen, start your engines.